It is time for another edition of Silence Broken, the podcast here on LanarkLeadsToday.ca that aims to keep the issue of intimate partner violence in public conversation. My name is Bob Perreault, and joined all as always by the Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House, my co-host Aaron Lee. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Bob. As always, so great to be with you.
We're very pleased to have our guest joining us today, someone who has dedicated decades to the communities that she serves, recently was given a well-deserved appointment as the chief of police for the Smiths Falls Police Service, Jody Empey. Chief Empey,
Oh,
welcome.
thank you, Bob. Thank you, Aaron.
On the fact that you're chief, and I know it's been a while now, but I don't think there could have been a better choice because you know this community, you're a part of this community, and you care about this community. So I think when it was announced that you were moving from acting to permanent, a lot of people just sort of nodded their heads, including Aaron and I, saying, yep, good choice.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's not an easy position to be in. Certainly, I don't like the attention, good or bad, but I really do care about the people that we deal with and our community partners and see the value of having your own police service here in Smith Falls. So, thank you for that.
I'm going to turn it over to Aaron in one second. One thing that we do is we talk about the impact that the 86 recommendations from the Colleton-Cusack-Warmerdam inquest has had on the community and on the different stakeholders. And one thing that came up as we were reading through and doing a show on each one of those recommendations was a lot of, yep, this is being done here. This is being done here. Aaron, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, I think that one of the things I recall early on after the recommendations were released is Jody sending me a message saying, "I just want you to know, like we're reviewing all of the recommendations related to policing." It was you, Jody, who kind of provided the leadership to get me to Kingston to speak to your provincial liaison folks around violence, and you have done a tremendous amount of work within the Smiths Falls Police Service and beyond that, to make sure that we're talking about these recommendations and that we're doing something to make change and implement that. I'm wondering if you could just talk about what your motivation was in terms of how quickly you took it on and what have you seen become different as a result of it.
Well, certainly, when you look at the murders of three women in a short period of time, and the fact that what we saw too in the murder of Chantal Laurent in our own community was that there wasn't a lot of police-related intervention. So it was more friends, family, or people sometimes seeing the signs. And so, for us, it's a really important piece to ensure that the policies go in line with what the recommendations were, to continue to work with our community partners, to even have like the high-risk domestic violence teams that, Aaron, you probably remember back in the day they used to have, that kind of fell by the wayside. And so bringing that back and having those conversations with more of the high-risk IPV offenders was an important piece. And for us, we have a lot of new officers. So going forward is to ensure that training, that officers are receiving the training that they need for IPV, even if it's not courses, what kind of training can be offered through the Interval House or our community partners to, for our frontline police officers to understand what the challenges are in different intimate partner violence cases. And as you know, Aaron, I'm always learning when I speak to survivors of violence, because when you're a young officer, you sometimes don't understand the dynamics in a household, or you think, why do they stay? Or, what even the small signs of criminal harassment or that coercive control that we're really, bringing to light now, that these things weren't even talked about when I came into policing. So that was why it was so important to me.
Yeah, I think it's had a huge impact. And I just want to point out that In our community, we have survivor forums. And survivor forums started several years ago, but now the OPP and the Smiths Falls Police Service actually engage with survivors in a formalized way to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I will tell you that, as you know, I do lots of work provincially and outside of our county, and we are by far the leaders as it relates to having survivor forums where police services members sit in a room with a survivor and listen to the good, bad, and the ugly of their experience with the service as a way to try and inform how things change moving forward. And I just know that you mentioned survivors in your last moment there. What do you think the value is in terms of the survivor forums and working together that way and hearing survivors differently?
I think first and foremost, it's really brave for survivors to sit in a room with police officers. I know that speaking to some survivors, like even being in with a uniform presence, can be traumatizing, and understandably so. If things happen quickly, all of a sudden in your home, there's police officers there, your children are there. There's a lot of trauma that goes on, especially if someone's arrested. And so understanding both ways and what our training and what we do, but also learning from them, having that compassion, empathy, and allowing that follow-up to happen. Because sometimes officers are can be very black and white in calls for service, and they have to understand that there's different family dynamics that what works for one person may not be good for the other. So for us, it was making those changes. So for example, if a person did not want to be interviewed by a police officer in uniform, then we'll make that arrangement. Having a plainclothes officer, we could do it off-site now. We don't have to do it at a police station. So all these things that I've learned from some of those forums, and even really listening to the real, when someone's upset about how they were treated or how this went. Okay, well, what can we do differently? That's really important learning because, again, nobody's perfect. We're always learning, and there's different people and different situations that you have to treat differently, I guess. Like one thing will work for one person, but it's not going to work for everybody. So we had to figure that out. So for even for us this year, I'm getting a new mobile interviewing kit, which is going to go directly to the Crown, like through DEMS, they call it, through digital evidence management. So that kit's going to be able to go wherever an officer is, or it could go to your site, it could go to victim services site. It doesn't have to be at a police station. So just trying to do whatever is easier for that person.
Absolutely.
You mentioned a few times about working with other partners and other stakeholders. Maybe just, when you talk about education, there's obviously, a formal education, a program that's in there, but then there's also that experience, like you were just talking about with the different cases and so on, and then learning from those. What about gaining the knowledge from the stakeholders that you deal with? How has that improved in recent years as far as sharing information to make the overall experience for victims better?
Oh, it's been fantastic. And Aaron's been around a long time too with me, but I always say this to Aaron and Brianne and other partners with Lanark County Interval House, for example. We always had our own little silos back, in the 90s and early 2000s. Nobody shared information. There was no situation table, there was no high-risk meetings. And so you're dealing with the same person, but nobody knows where to pass it on. So, for example, being police officers, we're not counselors. We're not, we don't have the expertise in family trauma. So, having that support, especially with a victim advocate, to come into our police station once a week and looking at maybe files that, even if there's no charges laid, she can look at the file and say, "Oh, I know that person, and that person's come to us." Like, they may not have police intervention. They may go directly to Interval House. So she can review our cases and say, oh, that person has come to us. So then that opens the door for counseling and for support that we definitely can't provide. And having being on the community safety and well-being plan, that's been great too, because domestic violence is part of the community safety and well-being plan. And for a situation table too, for high risk people in our community, as well as those that help. So we're always, and CAS, Child and Family Services, having that connection too. So now everybody talks. So that provides the support, and the early intervention is what we see is goes a long way in preventing criminal charges or worse.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we were reviewing the recommendations, I remember specifically when Erin and I would talk about it before we would go on, she'd be citing examples of Smiths Falls Police is doing this. Lanark County OPP is doing this as well. So it's been very proactive in Smiths Falls and Lanark County in general.
Yeah, we all work together. OPP, Smith Falls, us, even with our MCRT, the Mobile Crisis Response Team. So that's another piece, because we say to officers that engage MCRT with these domestic violence cases, because there could be an element of mental health, addiction. So that is also a tool that we use. Sorry, Aaron, I think you were going to speak.
I was just really going to say that sometimes I become a little bit overwhelmed when I travel the province because people are a little bit behind, and there's resistance in other communities to, for instance, have intimate partner violence or DV included in the community safety and well-being plan. And then I listen to you talking about situation table, community safety and well-being plan, not to mention your leadership on the coordinating committee. And the coordinating committee has all of the agencies also represented at those meetings. And one of the major issues in the whole situation that happened in Renfrew County were the silos, right? Probation wasn't talking to so and so, who wasn't talking to so and so. So in terms of the risk and the elevated risk, it came, and it was there, and it exploded. So I just think that sometimes I even forget until I listen to somebody talking about it, and then I think to myself, we are doing all the things that the recommendations and the inquest itself was highlighting. We need to be talking to each other. We need to share information. And when there's risk, we need to understand that the Privacy Commission's already worked on that so that we can share information with each other. And we need to trust each other. And I think that we've worked really hard in our community to build trusting relationships. We now have the victim advocate at Smiths Falls Police Service, as well as OPP. We are communicating and being there for each other, and really leaning in. And one of the things I think is really significant, and I think that if people are listening today, they would hear Jody saying it over and over again, and that is that we're situating victims at the center. And when we situate victims at the center, whether through VWAP, Victim Services, Hospital Program, the VA, Police Services, Lanark County Interval House, when we center the victims, we're always going to do a better job in terms of listening to each other and leaning in, regardless of our mandates and the different ways that we get to things. We can still get there. We just have to center the victims. And so I really do appreciate, Jody, your leadership and your interest and your determination, right? Jody does lots of applications to keep us afloat with funding and looking at partnering, and she'll send an email saying, I want to go for this. Can we work together on it? And then we're like, yeah, we're in, Jody, let's do it. And people don't see that, right? The public don't see that in the background, everybody's strategizing and looking at how do we do more without, making people unwell because they're tired. Well, let's get more money. Let's have training. Let's build capacity, and let's move on, right? And Jody, you're really central to that, and I really do appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I wish that the funding would be permanent and not through police for sure, but I'm sure there'll be some good news, I hope, coming for the victim support grant, because that's a big piece of of engaging with victim advocate and having that boots on the ground here has been a great support. And that was important to me to have some more engagement within our police station. So, Bree's great, and she will speak to our new officers as well, and that's an important piece to speak to them about what she hears and what she deals with, and that trauma-informed training too is important for us, and having officers trained in listening to victims. That's a another really great tool that our community partners, so they'll apply for grants, and that trauma-informed training, they'll put it out, as to all of us and say, hey, we've got this training that's free for officers, so we'll throw in a couple officers for that training, because that's really important. I learned a lot even from that training that I didn't know, because our questions used to be different than they are now. And knowing that sometimes survivors won't remember things right away, but it might take time for them to think about and come back and have that re-interview part, because there's things that they may not remember or not even realize that are important keys, especially the criminal harassment part, and the coercive control. And I saw recently you just shared, I was gonna share it on our Facebook page, of all the signs of IPV, which a lot of times people don't know those are signs that lead up to maybe more serious IPV cases. And that's where we saw, and the LeBron investigation was, the criminal harassment component was pretty serious. And so it is very good for the public to see what you put out, and for us to share that, because those are important.
Speaking of that, like when this episode is released, we are towards the beginning of the 16 days of activism. And you talk about an opportunity to share information. Aaron, I'll get you to speak a little bit to that. And it's not only the information that is being shared, it's who's put this information together, because again, we're talking about collaborative efforts.
Yeah, I think that thank you for mentioning the 16 days. Today is Wear Purple Day. And the 16 days of activism really is connected to the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, which is November the 25th. And for 16 days following, we engage in community, and it ends on December 10th, which is Person's Day. And there are so many opportunities for people. So, we have a December 6th vigil at 1 p.m. in Perth, and that is a series of voices. So there'll be a survivor voices, there will be policing voices, there will be several voices who will be sharing and bringing community together to gather on December 6th. There's an opportunity on December 9th for estheticians and estheticians who, engage with survivors regularly in their businesses, who cut their hair, who tend to their nails and their needs, and they have an intimate connection and could be talking about intimate partner violence or seeing the signs. So we're doing a piece called Skin Deep on the 9th of December, and that's open to the public, and it'll be hosted at the library. And we can work with our libraries, and we can work with various groups to find opportunities to provide information to people where they're at, to make it accessible, to make it free. And we're working with the Mississippi Valley Textile Museum December 5th, I think that is, and we're showing the movie Twilight. And we're going to do a red flag event. So when you watch the movie, every time you see something that is concerning around, the relationship and the violence against women, you would raise your flag. And then we'll stop the movie and talk about why everybody was waving their flag, so that we can take film and we can have a discussion and make it a learning opportunity, right? So there's a whole calendar. It's available on our social media, on our Facebook page. But it's an opportunity for community to be engaged. I go to Trinity United Church this Sunday for the first week of Advent. I do it every single year. I go the Sunday closest to December 6th so that I can share a message with the congregation there. It's about being where your people are, and it's about providing those opportunities. And I really think together our community leads well, from Bob to you, Jody, to the OPP, Victim Services, everybody. We're really working hard to make sure our community is engaged and empowered.
Last question for you, Jody, and it's related to what Aaron just said there. When we go to these events, vigils, things like that, there's always a respectful police presence there. I don't know how many times I've waved to you at these things and so on, but it's having the Smiths Falls Police Service there as a sign of respect and definitely a show of support and it's become very apparent over the past few years that that's very important to you.
It is like you don't forget, of course, the massacre in Montreal, which started it all, and being targeted just for being a woman. And certainly, I've had that experience myself, just in the workplace, not in the workplace, but certainly on the external part. But understanding too that I know the families of Heather Fraser, Chantal Lebrun, so other women who died in Smith Falls, I like to always remember them every year during this time as well. And it's important for us as a community to not forget and hope that this does not happen in our community again.
As we do every week, we are going to end with Aaron Lee's final thoughts. Aaron, I turn it to you.
I think that it's important for our community and for our listeners to hear what our leadership is saying locally, hear that everybody is doing their best and working hard. And for sure, people are critical of all of us. On one day, you're only as good as your last at bat. But really, our community works hard. We lean in on each other. We welcome voices. We really try to amplify the realities of rural realities for victims of violence. We honor lots of people who have been taken in our community, and we work together to make it different. And I'm very proud of the work that we're doing, especially in relation to policing and anti-violence agencies, because historically, we were more adversarial, and now we've definitely found our common ground by centering victims. So thanks.
Smiths Falls Police Service Chief of Police Jody Empey has been our guest this week. Chief Empey, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. I hope you'll join us again down the road.
Thank you both so much for all your advocacy for to help our community, Bob. You as well. This is pretty amazing to have a radio station highlighting this. Thank you.
You're very welcome. For Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House, say goodbye, Aaron.
Goodbye,
I'm Bob
Aaron.
Perot. Lanarklead's today.ca.